Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Monday, April 20th. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
This is 2020, but I am not Hugh Downs.
This is a correct statement.
And good morning.
Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Good afternoon, I think.
Who is also not Hugh Downs. So, Charlotte, actually, I'd like to start with you. You've put up a quick post for us, a nifty little how-to for people who need it, about screenshots.
Yes, we all take many screenshots all the time, and there are lots of different ways to do it, it turns out. The obvious ones that I think most of us all know are Apple Shift 3 for to get the whole screen without having to do anything. And then if you do Apple Shift 4, you get some crosshairs and you can draw a box around the exact bit you want. But there are a bunch of different modifiers as well. They're actually all in, you can see them all in system preferences on your Mac, actually. But there is all sorts of things, like if you press extra keys, you can. So, for example, Command Shift 4 spacebar means you can select a window.
Command Shift 4 turns it to crosshairs, and then if you hit the space bar, it will highlight a window, and then you
And you get a camera and then a window. There are, I think if you do Command Shift 5, you get some different recording options. There's a whole bunch of different things. So we've kind of put it all into one place, and hopefully that's useful for either you or the person who is calling you for tech support.
Which then makes it useful to you, because you can get them to show you exactly what they're seeing, which is which may be a little bit nicer than having them point their iPhone at their computer and try and show you what it is. So,
But also, if you have your own that I don't include in the article, and you have your own favorite little key combinations, do email us at observations@macobserver.com.
Yes, please.
Because we always like to know people's own little workarounds. So.
Definitely. Particularly when it comes to screenshots. So very long-time readers of the site will remember that I went to a conference a few years back, and I asked everybody there, like, sort of, what's your pro tip? What's the thing that you do on your computer that, like, blows everyone else's socks off? And almost every single person said, I take a screenshot. Like, it all started with, I take a screenshot. And it was, you know, I take a screenshot straight to the clipboard. I take a screenshot without a drop shadow. I take a screenshot, you know, in a different file format, that sort of thing. And it's very interesting that's the thing that, like, a whole bunch of sort of, you know, power user Mac folks all get together. Like, the thing that everybody's sort of really impressed with is the screenshots. So the special things that you can do with screenshots.
On the old file conversion, I believe Mr. Martellaro is our man on this.
He is indeed. We've got, we literally have Johnny on the spot today for for something involving getting your iPhone to take slightly different photos, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. A while back, I think it was iOS 11, Apple introduced a new file format, high efficiency image compression. I don't remember a file, high efficiency image format, HEIF. And the container for that is HEIC. And when you do that, you kind of don't notice it, because by default it was turned on iOS 11. Photos apps knows how to display them. When you email them, it figures you're going to a non Apple source, and just to be safe, it converts it to JPEG when an email. So it was all kind of transparent. And one day I realized a while back that my default had been changed. And so I did some investigating, and I found out that, well, let's see, I'm looking for the article. Ah, there it is.
Well, you found out it had happened, but it was transparent to you because you were using a reasonably recent version of Mac OS. So when you were looking at your pictures on your computer, you didn't notice that they were a different format. And if you share them to anybody, the sharing is automatically JPEG. So nobody else notices that it's not the same format either.
Yeah, I think what happened was is that I fell into HEIC format on my phone, and I did an AirDrop to my Mac to display a phone. And I went, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? How did that happen? So I started exploring, and it turns out that there is a setting in your camera app called Formats. And you have a choice between most compatible, which is JPEG and high definition, or high efficiency, which is HEIC and 4K. And they're kind of linked together. So if you're okay shooting video in high definition, then you can keep your format for photos in JPEG. They're not really separated out, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, that's true. They're not.
Yeah.
But
so if you go to most compatible, all your photos will be in JPEG. And then if you want to keep it that way for your own purposes and whatever you do, it'll work fine.
And it's nice to have a little, like, it's mostly just nice to have the awareness of that. Like, that's the biggest thing. When this happened, if you had not updated macOS recently, then you would have all kinds of trouble viewing your pictures, which we saw. So thank you, John, for the PSA on the format change and for the note on how to switch it back. But now, John, I'd like to talk to you about particle debris from last week.
And why you're wrong.
Let me point, well, I was going to say, I would like to talk to you about this, but I think Charlotte's going to have way more to say when you're done. So, John, talk to us about last week's particle debris.
All right, so let me just briefly introduce this, and then we'll get the discussion going. I noticed that Apple was on a roll with delivering products. And while some companies were shutting down or had been forced to shut down or pulling back, Apple's going full speed ahead. They just recently introduced new iPad Pros with the Magic Keyboard, and those are both shipping now. And then there's a rumor that new iMacs are imminent, probably with Comet Lake CPUs, which is glorious, 10th generation. And then Apple announced last week, what was it, the 15th? They announced the new iPhone SE second generation. And so Apple is, despite employees working from home and taking important precautions, Apple as a company is continuing to deliver to us the products that we need to work at home. And they couldn't have come out with an inexpensive iPhone at a better time. Because right now, many people are strapped for money. They may need a new iPhone. They may need a new phone for their spouse. They may have a broken phone. And they're not interested in, especially since spending, you know, $700 for an iPhone XR or $1,000 for an iPhone 11. But a $399 phone with a modern AI processor and 4K graphics for $399 is an awfully sweet deal. And Apple would probably just hit the bingo moment when it came to delivering an inexpensive phone in the middle of this economic downturn.
No.
Not to mention the fact that they were much in need of an inexpensive phone to fight off foreign competition in emerging markets.
And let me point out, for people who haven't seen much about the new iPhone SE, it's the iPhone 8 body, the iPhone XR camera, and the iPhone 11 processor. That's what you're getting in the new phone, and it's $400. So it's Touch ID, it's not Face ID, but it does have wireless charging. So the Qi charging is, which, by the way, I fell in love with when I had an iPhone 8, is super fantastic. So, like, as a phone, it's great. And a thing that we did not discuss when we talked about it on the show was something that came up in a couple of different conversations I had with some other people, which is if you are a company that wants everybody on iOS devices and you have to issue work phones to people, this is a fantastic work phone. Like, if you know this isn't going to be somebody's primary device necessarily, but you need them to have one, a phone for work.
Oh, that's a good point.
You can do this. And so, like, just issue everybody these. It's a little bit smaller. You know, it'll still do everything it needs to do. It's
a 7-inch display, which is not too bad.
Right. It's almost the size of an 11 Pro. And it's like, as a phone, I mean, physically. But as a phone, like, it's a very, very, it's a very, very solid device. And so if you were in need of some sort of, like, auxiliary device, this is like the MacBook Air, the iPhone Air would be what I would call this. So a little less expensive, a little less horsepower in some ways. Like, the camera is not the 2 and 3 lenses that we're now accustomed to, but super great and, you know, really high powered. And so it seems really great. Charlotte, I feel like you might have something to say about this.
So I think the device is great. Lovely. I actually, if I was not, you know, just over 6 months ago, I wrote a piece. I got an iPhone, I got a XR, and mm-hmm. I actually the other day reflected on that, on a piece on the Mac Observer. And it got, when this came out, it got me thinking, if that this had been available during, you know, when I was making the decision which phone I wanted, mm-hmm. would I have gone for this? And it's entirely possible I would have. The specs you've run through are really good. My objection and the bit I took kind of umbrage at was in John's piece, as you know, obviously John is wonderful. That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
The idea that we need. So the headline is "Sobered but Undeterred, Apple Delivers the Products We Need." I find it very hard to get my head around that as the world is collapsing, what we need is a new iPhone.
Okay.
Second of all, I understand the point. I agree that Apple need, as a company, it's right for the company to introduce a low-cost model. I might have waited 6 weeks. I think it's the iPhone is such a flagship thing for the company now, whatever model it is, whether it's the 11 Pro Max or the other end of the spectrum with this SE, that I just think it looks really, one, if people notice, it looks tone deaf. Two, if people don't notice, people don't notice and people won't know that there's a new iPhone, so it defeats the point of Apple releasing it. So I just can't quite get my head around any of this. I guess for Apple, the idea was, look, we've got these things, we're making them. They didn't just turn the machines on the night before it was released to build these things. There's long running timelines for this kind of thing. And so they probably thought it's better just to put out a press release than to have them sitting in storage warehouses, which, if you've read Tim Cook's biography, he does, you know, he's a just-in-time guy. He sorts out all these logistical things. This stuff matters to him. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important for Apple not to have stacks of new iPhone SEs sitting in sort of warehouses. So I get, from Apple's perspective, mm-hmm. why they wanted it out. That doesn't mean I necessarily think it was kind of, I don't want to say moral terms.
Right.
PR terms is perhaps the best way of looking at it. Not sure that was the best decision.
Well, I think it's dangerous to impose your own moral values on a company that's trying to deliver products for people who may desperately need communication during this crisis, because people are isolated more than ever. If you were thinking about buying a phone for a parent or a grandmother or a relative who was isolated in a hospital,
I think that's slightly pushing an argument to kind of breaking point, actually. Well, there are some people, I totally accept, that will benefit from having a new low-cost, high-powered iPhone. Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't think Apple had a moral imperative to release such a device. And we've already seen, Andrew reported on it on Friday, the shipping dates drop back anyway.
Wait a minute.
That was because they sold.
The shipping date is pushed back because of increase.
Because they sold
of
them
tremendous
all.
Demand.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But here's.
So that's the principal proof right there. That's
because
the data,
people not shiny things.
Right.
No, that's the data. That's the data. This
yeah.
Apple,
the data so is that people like
Apple
buying shiny things.
An inexpensive iPhone during a pandemic. And it's wildly popular and people buy lots.
But we don't know it's wildly popular. We know that the shipping day has been pushed back.
However many they had, all of the ones that they had have been sold because the ship date has been pushed back. But I wonder,
ship loads of them.
I wonder, though, if it's even more basic than that.
I think making it a moral, like that they're doing, that it is a moral good that Apple has done this, is totally bizarre.
Hold on.
It was a public service.
I don't think it's either of those things. I think the problem is that we've been hearing iPhone SE rumors for ages, and as soon as there were enough of them that people were going to actually start being able to point realistically at, like, Apple has this whole phone. I don't even think it had anything to do with Tim Cook not wanting a whole bunch of inventory to sit somewhere. I think it was just people were going to find out about it anyway, so we might as well put it out the door.
Yeah, and
as opposed
fine.
To having it leaked when Apple couldn't really say anything about it.
Sure. Sorry, John, did you just describe releasing this as a public service?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a baby boomer, so I'm thinking back to World War II. There were some things that the government stopped doing. It forced the auto companies to stop making cars and to start making airplanes and tanks. But there were still essential goods. To say that we were at war and we should stop building clothes and stop delivering food to people and stop delivering things that they need for their daily lives so that they can, you know, contribute to the war effort is just plain wrong. There's some things you don't need anymore that are luxuries that should be reserved for fighting a war. And there's some things that people need, like food, shelter, and clothing to conduct their work to contribute to the war effort.
John.
And people are communicating a lot more, and an inexpensive iPhone just kind of just hits the spot right now.
Don't make me okay boomer you. The idea that an iPhone, however much we like them, is anything but a luxury is just bizarre. The idea that Apple is providing Apple, a $1 trillion basically company, who has become a $1 trillion company because of the iPhone.
Oh, every time you watch the news, people are doing FaceTime. It's FaceTime everywhere.
It's amazing. They're doing it without a new iPhone, though. They didn't need the new iPhone to do that. Just wait a few weeks. That's my only point. If you want to release it this year, if you want to, you know...
And in spring, it would still be spring, you know, at the end of April. So, yeah.
Right. Wait till the end of May, when the world may have, we hope, particularly the US, we hope, may have moved forward somewhat.
Apple needs to adhere to Charlotte's timeline.
No, they need to adhere to, I mean, they should, but that's a different issue. They need to adhere to a timeline of common sense, of having some perspective of what's going on in the world. You know, Tim Cook and Apple are very happy to put out press releases and information about all the wonderful things they're doing to help the coronavirus effort. And they're doing amazing things. And you're absolutely right to point out what a powerful tool FaceTime has been for people suffering in hospital. But
what about people who've lost their phone? What about people whose phone is broken? What about people who need to send a phone to a relative?
Okay, I actually think you're being slightly facetious, because that's all fine. People have always been able to replace lost phones. Like, you don't need a brand new iPhone in the middle of a global pandemic. You just don't. And Apple is very pleased to tell us how wonderful they're being and contributing to the effort, and they've done amazing work.
If the iPhone SE second generation were shoddy and poor quality and used an A9 processor and had a low resolution screen, would you be happier?
No, I don't think it needs to exist for a few more weeks.
It sounds like you're upset that it's a quality product.
No, I'm delighted it's a quality product. As I say, I might have bought one if it had been released 6 months ago. I may well have bought one. It sounds lovely. So it sounds like a great piece of kit.
Same here.
Need to be
I would
around.
Have bought one.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be around now. Give it 6 weeks. Let the world calm down a bit.
Well, data contradicts you, Charlotte, because it's being sold at a high rate.
How do we know that?
Because it delivers a pushback to May.
Yeah. Okay, how many? What does that mean? That how many were there?
We'll
many
never know.
There weren't enough to meet demand.
Well, okay, but they may tell us at the end of the month when we get the earnings call. We may hear something about we've recently released a new iPhone and sales were blah blah blah. They may do that. They may not. Yeah. Sometimes they talk about it. Sometimes they don't.
The data doesn't contradict me, because there is no data. All we know is the ship date's been pushed back.
This is true.
For all we know, that is because there's difficulty distributing it. We don't know that's because loads of people have bought it.
Correct. We don't know much. When we do know more, we will definitely tell you about it. that's gonna have to do it for us today. Okay, at least what's gonna happen is I'm gonna say goodbye and I'm gonna play some music, and then John and Charlotte are gonna continue, and I'll let you know tomorrow how all of that turns out. But for today, like, this, you know, we definitely have a time frame. So I do want to thank both of you for being here. I'm not coming down on one side or the other. I just am very glad both of you are here. John, thanks so much for coming by.
That was nice. Charlotte, I think you're great and you have some good points.
John, I think you're fabulous, but you're also wrong.
And Charlotte, thank you for being here. It's always fun because, like, I just go, I think Charlotte might have something to say about this. And then I sit back and knit for 15 minutes and then I come back and go, okay, I guess we're done. It's fantastic. So anyway, thank you both for being here. Listeners, as Charlotte said earlier in the show, if you have some clever screenshot tips or just some clever Mac tips or iPhone tips, if there's something that you do that seems to really impress a lot of people, definitely let us know about it. That's the kind of stuff we like to highlight. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.